Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 13, in Christ, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Tonight we are going to continue in our series, What It Means to Be in Christ. And in this passage here, one of the absolutely vital things about being in Christ is that we were brought near by the blood of Christ. The word by is the word en in the original language. Again, one of those small words with big meanings. And it's talking about instrumentality. So we were brought near by means of the blood of Christ. Now, in Ephesians 2:15 and 16, the Bible tells us that the enmity that verse 14 speaks about, the separation that there existed between us and God, was removed on the cross as God took Christ and ourselves and made one new man from the two. So here is our union with Him. The blood of Christ cleansed us. Now, this isn't the message yet. This is a little background. The blood of Christ cleansed us because on the cross we became the body of Christ. He took our sins on His own body, and that is because we became His body in our sinful state on the cross. The reason why the blood of Christ can cleanse us is because when the blood was shed over His body, we were His body. And so it was shed on us. This is tremendous because with us being His body on the cross, if the literal blood was not efficacious, and it most certainly is efficacious, but if it were not efficacious, then Jesus would have died in our sins. He would have suffered the fate that we were to suffer apart from Him. But the blood of Christ was efficacious. It is efficacious still. Now keep in mind that the blood of Christ was shed while Jesus was on the cross. We tend to think of that as a historical fact, and indeed it is a historical fact. But it's more than merely a historical fact. It's an eternal reality. We see this in Revelation 13:8. When the Word of God says there that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, it's talking about a structural foundation that was laid down. And that structural foundation was a slain Lamb. That Lamb died on the cross in what we call approximately 2,000 years ago, but really it took place before the world existed, and that became the structural foundation. In order to understand how this works, we have to understand a little bit about time. Einstein showed us that time is not linear. Our experience with time is linear. But time, as it actually is, as it exists on the great scale of the universe, is not linear. Only our experiences. But our experience does not reflect the reality of time. If you take an ant and you put it on something very large, that ant will not have the same experience as someone to whom that object is not large. If you take an ant and put it on a large royal dining table in some king's palace, that ant will have a very different experience on that table than the guest sitting at the table, as far as experiencing the table itself goes. The guest can see that all that is on one side of the table and all that is on the other side of the table and all points in between are perhaps set for a magnificent feast. The food, the china, the silverware, everything that is necessary is on the table. But the ant can't perceive that. The ant perceives one thing at a time. To the ant, there's only one direction, the direction that it's heading in. But in reality, the guest sitting at the table sees that the entire table is complete and that there's no real direction at all. That it's all there, all at once, simultaneously. This is like us and our relationship with time. We are that tiny little ant, and God is like someone sitting at this grandiose table that is time itself. The fact that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, and the fact that Jesus was historically crucified approximately 2,000 years ago, is in no way mutually exclusive. If we are an ant walking across the table of time, it appears to be 2,000 years ago. If you are God watching the Son, the Lamb, being slain, you realize that that is the very foundation that is the table. We have to be careful not to get confused in this. It's very easy to get confused in this because it's so counterintuitive. It's so contrary to the way that we experience things. But once you can get your mind around the fact that not everything is as it appears, it becomes much easier. There's a book about this, Creation Relativity, that introduces this topic. You can get it on Amazon. It's by J. Palmer Douglas. The Lamb being slain was an eternal reality. It was what all the universe was established on, built upon. Literally, foundation in Revelation 13:8 is katabolēs, and it refers to a structural foundation. The word from in that same passage refers to laying down something. It was the laying down of a structural foundation. That means that the blood of Christ is an intrinsic part of absolutely everything, including us, including the soil. Genesis 2:7 shows us this in the original language. It reads, "Out of the dust of to show blood, God created to show blood." This was something that was understood back in the days of Melchizedek and Abraham, that everything had the blood as part of its structure, part of its composition. This same blood brings us near to our Savior. And it does so because of the activity of the blood. It removes sin. In 1 John 1:7, it cleanses us from sin. In Psalm 103:12, it cleanses sin from time. Now, in Psalm 103:12, it says, as far as the east is from the west. But then, this is another part of what Einstein showed us, is where you have space, you have time. Where you have time, you have space. The two are two intrinsically connected components of the same thing. Time does not exist without space, and space does not exist without time. And so what the psalmist is saying there is that the blood of Christ removes sin from time. Jesus also referred to this in Matthew 7:23 when he said that there are those who will stand at the white throne judgment who will say to him, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? And he will say to them, depart from me, I never, a time reference, never knew you. They were not in time, because in 1 John 3:20, he knows all things. Now, this is what we are dealing with. This is what the blood of Christ, what the cross of Christ, in fact, what all of existence is about. That we have been brought near by the blood of Christ. It had to be this way, or the eternal plan of God could not be carried out. Now, there are people who do not understand the blood of Christ. They don't even believe it's literal. They don't think it's anything different than simply the death of Christ, and they see that as somehow allegorical or spiritualized or what have you. But it's the literal blood of Christ. There are those who would like the church, for example, to be purified, who are very sin-oriented, and they are bothered by the fact that we have a sin nature, not understanding the sin nature, that in Romans 7 it is a part of our physical bodies. And they want to see the church dealt with because there are people in the church who fail. The only person in the history of this world who has not failed in some way or another was Jesus himself. But they somehow seem to think that people ought not ever fail, as though that is somehow a remote possibility. They don't understand even why we were created. They don't understand the effect of the blood. Some people say that the church goes through the tribulation so that it will be purified from its sin in the tribulation process. I read about this very recently and their arguments, and I was shocked but not surprised by how utterly bad the hermeneutical skills were of the people who were propagating this. In Psalm 103:10, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Why? Because we were brought near by the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin and removes sin from time. So to deal with us after our sins would actually be a lie. Because the blood of Christ removes sins from time. Those sins would have to exist in time for us to be dealt with according to our sins. But God has removed them from time. That is the activity of the blood that is instantaneous because it is a part of the foundational structure that the universe was built upon. Everything, literally everything in existence that is temporal in any way, has the blood of Christ as its foundation. The instant that sin appears, blood is activated and sin is eliminated from time. Why is it that God can talk to sinners when God cannot even look upon sin? Because the worst of sinners has their sin eradicated from time instantly, the moment it happens. And there is very important reason for that. We'll get to that in just a little while. The church does not need purification. The church, by definition, is pure. The experience of individuals within the church as they are growing in the grace and the knowledge of Christ is covered by the blood of the Savior. The provision for their communion with Him takes place at the cross, which is the other part of the structural foundation. The church is not purified by tribulation. The Bible refers to four things that cleanse or purify the church. And those are the blood of Christ in Hebrews 9:22, the word of God in Ephesians 5:26, obeying the truth in 1 Peter 1:22, and faith in Acts 5:19. It doesn't say anything about the church being purified by tribulation. One of the things I notice is that these people do not understand dispensations and they have a difficult time separating Israel from the church. They think the two are the same when indeed they are not. The church was the mystery that Paul was revealing between the two mountaintops of Isaiah's vision. The church doesn't need to be purified. The church is pure. For those people who are hung up on this idea that Christians sometimes sin, first of all, 1 John 1:9 says that if Christians confess their sins to God, then their sins are forgiven. And in the original language, that means forgotten, which also goes along with Hebrews 8:12. He does not remember our sins or our iniquities. But also, God already dealt with sin. It doesn't have to be dealt with again. There is no double jeopardy with God. It doesn't have to be dealt with again. We could go about this for days. There's so much said in the Bible about grace, about the cleansing of the blood of the Savior, about the purification of the believer's position, and as he grows into being who he is in Christ. In Romans 8:29. There's so much that we can say because the Bible is so filled with things that God has to say about it. But we have to continue. In 1 John 5:11, this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is His. God has given us eternal life, and this life is His. In Galatians 2:20, He did it at the cross. The cross for the believer is the entry point into life. Prior to that, we were dead in trespasses and sins. But when we go through the cross, we start to have the experience of the life of God. In John 15:5, in the very beginning of the verse, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." This life that we have in Christ, which comes from being brought near to Him, in Him, is very much a life that we share with Him. And Jesus said we share it with Him in the same manner that a vine and its branches share their life. The two are one organism. The branches are not a separate organism from the vine, and the vine is not separate from the branches. They are one organism. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, we are the body of Christ. The head is not separate from the body, and the body is not separate from the head. We are one organism. So the oneness of the one new man is indeed that we share his life, that we share who he is, that we become who he is, because he became who we are. He is in us, and we are in him. Sin must be removed from time. This is one of the reasons why angels cannot be saved. We gave two reasons the other day. This is another reason why angels cannot be saved. Sin must be removed from time. Because we are in Christ and he cannot be corrupted, he is incorruptible. Sin is a time issue. Because whatsoever is not of faith in Romans 14:23 is sin. Faith only exists in time. Faith does not exist in eternity. Faith only exists while we are in time. The born-again believer who lives by faith as best he can will eventually die also. And then his life of faith is over, but his life is not over. Only his life of faith has ended. When he leaves his body, Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He will meet his Savior after he leaves his body. And when he meets his Savior, he will meet him face to face. In Hebrews 11:1, faith is only toward that which is not seen, and now he will see his Savior. Now he will see God. And it's no longer faith. The relationship is richer than ever. The closeness is richer than ever. The trust even is richer than ever. But faith, the conviction of things not seen, no longer pertains to that person. Doesn't pertain to angels either. So sin, whatsoever is not of faith, is a time issue. This had to be so. If you consider why Jesus made us, this had to be so. Because we were made to become one with him. Why did God make us? Very quickly, we've talked about it before, but for the sake of this message and those people online who may not have heard this prior to now. In 1 John 4:8 and 4:16, God is love. Agape is the original language for love. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, that love is first patient and then it is kind. Patience and kindness cannot be expressed toward that which is perfect and flawless. To be impatient with a perfect being such as the angels, that impatience would be unjust. To be unkind to such a being would also be unjust. An angel has no need of patience. And kindness is its due. And so this cannot be expressed in the whole of what this means to love. Because love is not an emotion, but rather an activity, first mental and then overt, there must be expression. God could stay for eternity with an attitude of love. But the completeness of God cannot be expressed unless somebody needs to receive His love. And so God, who cannot create anything imperfect, created Adam and Eve in perfection. But in Ezekiel 28:15-18, Lucifer found he was beautiful, started to compare himself, iniquity, self-orientation was found in his heart. He rebelled against God, and in Revelation 12, one-third of heaven fell because of his rebellion. And God allowed them to be on earth for a season. God said that in the midst of the garden there were two trees. One was the tree of life, and the other one was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And in Genesis 2:17, God said to Adam, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat thereof, because in the day that you do, you shall surely die." When Lucifer, Satan, at this point, had entered the serpent and tempted Eve, and she said to him, "We shall not eat from the tree, nor shall we touch it," he said to her in the original language, after she told him God said we would die if we ate it, he said, "Dying, you shall not die today. You may die, but not today." Why did God allow this? Because in order to express love, you need imperfect beings. Beings that need patience and beings that need kindness. The plan was never to be separated from them. The plan has always been to become one with them. And this is how God was going to do it, because there is only one God, and there was none other of His kind. But yet Adam needed someone of his own kind, and Adam, as we see in a few places in the Bible, was a type of Christ. God was looking for one of His own kind, but there was none. And so through this fall, in time, it had to be in time, God could redeem man by becoming one with Him, cleansing him with His blood as He bled across His own body, dying, and the man died with Him. And then as He rose again, we rose with Him as the one new man, the 2 Corinthians 5:17 new creation. That is why we were created. But it could only be carried out in time. It could not be carried out in eternity. It had to be in time. Because the blood of Christ removes sin from time, but only from time. So it all had to play out in time, and therefore by faith. In Galatians 5:6, "In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." Working, energomene, is a present middle participle of energeo, Middle voice means that the subject produces the action of the verb. In this case, faith produces the action, but the subject also receives the benefit. So faith working through love is not simply a one-directional activity. The word literally means to act. It's a participle, so you could say acting, to be at work, or to be operative. Operating through love. Faith operating through love. Through is dia, it's the channel of an act. Through is in fact the correct translation there, through love. Faith acting through love. What is that? That is the core, the foundation of our relationship with Christ, producing an activity by means of love. And this is possible because in Romans 5:8, we have been made to be one with the love of Christ. Well, we know that we're one with Christ, and we know that He is love. So this is simply another way of restating the one new man principle, that we are one with love. In that passage, it says in the King James, God commends His love toward us. I have yet to find a good translation of that. It's not commends, it's not recommends, it's not God shows us how fabulous it is. The word is synesthesin, and it means to take two things and turn them into one thing. God takes us, takes love, merges us together, combines us into the one new man. Therefore, we are one with the love of God, so the faith of Christ in Galatians 2:20 could be restated as the faith of love. So of course that faith is working through love. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us in Philippians 4:13. We cannot do anything apart from Him in John 5:15 in the latter part of the verse. And so, of course, it's faith working through love. That's the only way that faith can work, is by means of who God is, because we are one with Him. Faith apart from that is not even faith. That's why faith comes by the hearing of the Word, which in John 1:14, Jesus was. So, thinking with the mind of love, and responding accordingly is what it's talking about in Romans 1:17, from faith to faith, from the faith of love, the faith of Christ, to the application of the faith of love, the faith of love. This is how the just live by the faith of love. Love is working through them, and faith is working through love. Faith must work by love because we are one with love. I can do all things through Him. I can't do anything apart from Him because of this faith working by love. Whatever is not that faith is sin, is removed by the blood of Christ from time, has no standing, has no place, and in fact, as far as God goes, never even existed. Romans 3:25 says that God set forth Christ to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Propitiation means that we were taken care of through faith in His blood. Through, again, dia, the channel of an act. N is the word in, and it's referring to instrumentality. The instrumentality was the blood. The faith, by means of the blood, is what produced the propitiation. Now, sin can be removed because it takes place in time. Things can be taken out of time. They cannot be taken out of eternity. This is why time had to be the stage for all this to take place, the platform. Now, whatever is not of faith is a time issue. Matthew 7:23 applies that, shows us how it works. Now, here's the thing. And this is also how we are brought near to Him. If it's not of faith, if it's not of our oneness with Him, then it would separate us from Him. And this indeed is the problem with sin in our experience. God causes us to grow in our experience because He has taken care of our position. In our position, we are already one with Him, but our experience needs to catch up. And that's what Romans 8:29 is all about. That we are being conformed to the image of His Son. And all things in verse 28 work for that purpose. Now, God is incorruptible. This could not take place in eternity. God is incorruptible. But in time, there is a provision. In time, sin can be removed because of faith and the blood. The blood removes only that which is sin. Which is whatever is not of faith, which is not love of God. However, the blood does not remove faith and that which is of faith. That which is of the love of God. And so all those things that would separate us from our Savior, from our Father, all of those things are eradicated from time the moment they appear. I did not say they are eradicated from our experience. But time and our experience are two different things. They are removed from time. Now, experience is a matter of perceptions. We think of experience as a matter of circumstantial facts, events, relationships. But in truth, experience is a matter of perception. How do we see the facts? How do we see the relationships? How do we see the experiences? That's why two people can experience the very same thing at the very same time, and one of them says it's a great experience, and the other says it's terrible. Their perception of the experience is different. It's the perception that causes the experience. Because everything is a matter of the mind. Now, if my mind, in Ecclesiastes 3:11, has God's viewpoint, where I know that everything has an eternal purpose, and because I have His viewpoint, which is a far greater viewpoint than a time viewpoint, then I can see in my mind the purposes of God. Then my experiences are defined by a new frame of reference, a new viewpoint, a new perception. And they become the experiences God had intended for me. Anything that is not of faith is removed from time. And albeit they may be something that I have gone through, I can accept by faith what the blood has done, and then in Hebrews 9:14, have my conscience cleansed. Because God doesn't remember what He says didn't take place, and He knows all things. We can't be so oriented, albeit it's natural for us to be so, but we can't be so oriented toward ourselves and our experiences. We need to be oriented to truth as God has given it to us in His Word in John 17:17. And so, I accept by faith, because I am in time, what the blood has done for me. And then when I am no longer in time, but I am in heaven, I will find that sin is nowhere to be found. Not only is it not imputed, not only is the experience of it not there, it never actually existed because it was removed from time. And this we receive by faith until we get to heaven, and then it becomes our knowledge and our experience. In John 1:14, in Him was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Comprehend is katalabei, and it means to understand, to perceive, to apprehend, and to take hold of it. Why is there darkness? There's always darkness when there is no faith to bring in the light of the Word of God. And so only by faith can this be comprehended, understood, and apprehended and taken hold of. That in Christ is life. And that life is the light of men. When I'm brought near in Christ, I'm brought near to the life of God. The only life that truly exists. We say we are alive because we have biological life, but how real is the biological life when it simply dies and disappears within my biological body and the soul continues forever? Anyone who has ever worked in the medical profession, anyone especially who has ever worked in something like an emergency room or an intensive care unit, knows exactly what I'm talking about when I say the soul leaves the body and the shell is empty. And that's when the body dies. When someone dies, I saw this many times when I worked in the emergency room. I know doctors who will tell you the same thing, who are unbelievers even. But they've witnessed this also. When somebody dies, an unnaturally long exhale takes place. That is the soul leaving the body. Residual lung volume is not that big. Is the soul leaving the body. That soul is what gave life to the body. Because God gave life to that soul in Genesis 2:7. It's all from Him. And it takes place in time, but it culminates in eternity, where we live forever. No one dies. Some go to heaven, some go to hell. The body dies. But the body is not you. The body is your coat. It's not you. And those many, many scores, hundreds of thousands of people who have had these near-death experiences come back saying the exact same thing. They didn't die, even when their body did. You're brought near through faith in the blood because you're living in time so it can actually play out that you become one with the Savior. He couldn't create us to be one of His own kind because only one can exist of His own kind. And so He made us to be one with Him. And He did it by the blood and the activity of faith and the fact that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. In Revelation 21:5, He who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Now, there are those people who say, well, that is future. One of the reasons why people are confused by the book of Revelation is because they see time as being a chronological, linear phenomenon. It's not linear, nor is it consistent, nor is it a universal event. Time is different for every molecule that exists. Don't think of Revelation as a chronological, orderly series of events. Part of it can be read that way. But if you want to understand it, recognize that John was shown something that's already taking place. 2,000 years ago, a little bit less than that, he looked into something that's in our future, about 1,000 years from now in some cases. And he referred to it in the present tense. Because he saw it as it was happening. God simply showed him at least what another part of the table looked like. It's already there. I make all things new is already the reality of our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us the moment we got saved, this became our reality. And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done." Done is the word gigonin. It means, get this, not so much accomplished, but to become, to come into being, to be made, to come into history, and to be finished in terms of completion. It's not a past issue. It's a completion issue. It now exists. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The blood is the foundation of time and space and everything and everyone that populates them, including you, including me, and everyone else who has lived on this planet. The difference is faith. If faith is not present, then whatsoever is not of faith is removed from time, so that we can be brought near to Him who is eternal. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."